This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5. Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible. One book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. And now, here's Sherry.
God bless you. Thank you, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to new book today, 2 Peter. Yes, we completed 1 Peter last time. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Just before we begin, I want to remind all of you that every Thursday from 12 noon to 2 p.m., Scott Merson meets me here, and we pray for 2 hours for the world. And if you have a prayer request that you want us to pray about and you want to call it in earlier, feel free to do so. My announcer will give you my telephone number. You may call in live on Thursdays. I answer the phone, or you may walk in the door, or maybe you've got something you want us to pray about. Also come each Sunday, 5 p.m. and Wednesday, 6 p.m. And now, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter was a commercial fisherman, and he was cleansing his nets when a stranger of Galilee walked on the shore and said, "Simon Peter, follow me." And Simon Peter left his commercial fishing boat, left his way of life, and followed Jesus. And it was Simon Peter who said, "Lord, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah." And Jesus says, "On this rock, on this declaration, I will build my church, and not the gates of hell shall prevail against it." It was Peter who got out of the boat and walked on the water. And it was Peter that the Lord Jesus chose to start the church. On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had gone back to heaven, sitting in the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us, the Holy Spirit came and sat upon the disciples and Peter like a cloven tongue of fire. And it was Peter who got up and spoke the word of God, book, chapter, verse, and line about Messiah. So Peter has been writing to the very elect, the 12 tribes scattered, that is to us. Book one, and he gave us a good foundation. He said, "Always remember this, church. You're bought not with money, not gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ." Now we come to chapter 2, verse 1, and Peter is going to take us deeper, because you see, the Apostle Paul always taught on three levels. So does Peter, and so does this teacher. In other words, we get the lambs, we get the babies, but we move on up to the very mystery of God. And when we get to 2 Peter chapter 3, you're going to hear the mystery of the three earth ages. You can be saved without knowing this or understanding, but you'll never understand God's heart or his plan or really why you're here unless you get this. I am entitling this Divine Favor. Divine Favor. The second epistle of Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. An apostle is a sent one, so he says, "I'm sent from God to serve God." But see, so are every one of you, so are you. You're sent from God. It wasn't to get a house and a land and a big job and a career. It was to serve the Lord. What do you serve? You cook up some food, the word of God, and you serve the word of God to people whereby they might be saved.
Amen. To them who have obtained like precious faith.
You can just tell the love he has for God. He says, "I'm writing this to kindred spirits, to those of you who are aware that it is the most precious thing to know Jesus." This is not something, if a Christian says, "Oh yes, I'm saved, blah, 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 on about the world. Oh yes, I'm saved, blah, 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 blah." No, if a Christian is an elect, it is the most precious, overwhelming, emotional thing every day of your life, that Jesus loves you and is in you. Most precious faith. Remember the word precious. You know, we have precious metals. Faith is more precious than that.
with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Christ Jesus.
We obtain this by the righteousness of Jesus. He took our filthy sins and put on us the robe of righteousness.
Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God.
Peter gets right to the subject. So he says, very dear elect people, and this is the end time. These things are written for you, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul says. He says, I want you to have grace and I want you to have peace multiplied. And here's how you do it, through the knowledge of God. Well, where do you get the knowledge of God? Max has just been reading Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7. The wisdom of God is from the word of God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge of wisdom. You get knowledge of God from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. Now, it doesn't mean that you might know his heart, but you learn about him. So if you want grace, unmerited favor, and if you want peace multiplied to you, you must have knowledge of God. This actually means the intellect. This is not a bad word, Christians. In other words, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, and your spirit is the intellect of your soul. So the greater your intellect, the more of God you can understand when you study his word. So therefore, he will grant you more peace and more grace.
Amen.
And of Jesus our Lord. 3, according to his divine power.
Divine power. Now, Peter is talking about the Holy Spirit. See, it was Peter. The Holy Spirit fell on him on the day of Pentecost, and he preached there. I mean, the cloven tongues of fire, the anointing takes over. It's like fire shut up in your bones. And each one of you has access to this. Jesus says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, over devils and demons. But see, most Christians don't exercise your power. You go around like a regular human being. Don't you know you have a divine nature? That's what I'm really calling this. Instead of divine favor, divine nature. Don't you know you have a divine nature? You say a divine nature? Well, we're going to talk about that. Yes, you do. And you're not using that power. That's why you live defeated lives. You have the Holy Spirit. He's dynamite.
Amen. Hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life.
Jesus had told Peter and the disciples, I'm sending the Holy Spirit. He will put you in remembrance of all things whatsoever I have told you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He knows everything about everything. You have no idea how many times when I'm studying God's word, and I've looked up the Greek and the Hebrew and the Chaldee, and I've listened to all of my former teaching tapes and everything else I can get, and I'll still know there's something there. I will ask the Holy Spirit, and he'll reveal it every single time. Oh, he's right there. He'll help you get that knowledge, that intelligence about God. Now, you can have intelligence about God. That doesn't mean you know him. So, wait a minute.
And godliness.
Godliness. Godlessness would be that you put on that intelligence you got. You get the intelligence of God by studying his word, Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, which we offer here. But the godliness is by taking that word, putting it on, swallowing it, let it swim around in and to you, and all of your thoughts and your prayers and your songs and your thinking and your actions, everything is run by the word. You want to get to the point that there isn't one area in your life when it's not first run by the word before you act or before you speak. It'll save you from getting in a lot of trouble.
Through the knowledge of him who hath called us to glory and virtue, for whereby hath given unto us exceeding great and precious promises.
Listen to precious Peter. He says God's given us precious promises, even exceeding more than we could possibly ask. Where the precious promises? Genesis 1 through Revelation 22. I told you one last week. He said, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. We learned in 1 Peter 3 verse 12. He said, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and ears are open to their cry. And God says in Isaiah chapter 43:26, he says, put me in remembrance of my precious promises. So see, the next time you're talking to God about his word, you know If you're going to marry somebody, you're going to marry God, you probably should study his language. He is the word, you know, so he speaks the word. So if you're going to love him and be in his heart, you want to speak his language. So the next time you're talking to him about money, put him in remembrance of the precious promise that he said about money, given it'll be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall God cause men to give into your bosom. Next time you're talking to him about healing, about his word, remind him of his precious promise that with Jesus Christ, you heal. See, you want to have a complete communication going with God. And he loves to talk about the word. Why is that? Because he is the living word.
That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature.
There is the word. Let's call this chapter divine nature instead of divine favor. Divine nature. Okay. Every one of you who is a Christian, you have a divine nature. Does anybody see it? You know, they used to say in early America, if a woman slipshod, I mean, she was embarrassed. They say you're slipshowing, whoa! You know, now they show everything. But that was the way it used to be. Your slipshowing would be nothing today. I mean, they would just take it off and wear the slip. But then it was something else. Your slip is showing. Well, I want to say, does the favor of God, does the divine nature of God show on you? Now, we're not talking about your God. You're not God. There's just one God. Here is the Lord our God is one. But when you accepted Jesus, Jesus came into your heart and lives there. All right? The heart is your second eye. It is your spirit. And then the Holy Spirit came and resides within that body, that spirit body within you. So you are walking around with the Word of God. Max, you're a word bearer. Instead of Lucifer, a ring bearer, you're a word bearer. It's almost like wherever you go, that word is right there. And so that divine nature should be showing. You should have it so developed. He's going to tell you how to do it. Developed that you make a difference in your workplace. You make a difference just to go to the store. It's not normal like anybody else. Everywhere you go, there's a light. That's why Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You're called the light of the world. There's no place in the world where divine favor should not be just bubbling over from you. Divine, divine, divine godliness about you.
Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
What he's saying there, because you have this divine nature, you have the Holy Spirit, you have the Word, you have Jesus in you. While many other Christians get caught up in sin and pornography and alcohol and sex and sin and stealing and all kind of drug trafficking things like we read about in the paper and see in the newspaper, you escape that. And it's like you are wearing an earth suit that protects you from that as you sojourn through this flesh age. And that's because of that divine nature that is in you.
Five. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue.
So Peter says, I'm going to show you how you can have the divine nature. First of all, you start with faith. By grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. So we all start with faith. Jesus gives everybody faith as a grain of mustard seed. So we've all got faith. We believe Jesus died, shed his blood, he arose from the dead. We believe, we'll repent. Okay, got that?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Now he said, be very diligent. Now he said to add to this virtue. But virtue doesn't mean virtue. We said it means resolution. Everybody say resolution.
Resolution.
Okay, now you're a Christian. Add resolution. By this, be determined. I am determined to follow Jesus. I am determined to love Jesus more. I am determined to know the heart of Jesus and dwell in that heart. I am determined to win many souls to Jesus. I am determined to fulfill my destiny. I am determined to obey Jesus. I am determined to trust Jesus when all the world's falling apart. I am determined to be everything he wants me to be while I sojourn in this earth. Resolution. See, like you make a New Year's resolution and break it, you don't want to break this one. It's, in other words, your face is set like a flint. An elect will do that, and you mean it. You mean business. If any of you are, have not made that determination yet, you are saved. I encourage you right now, this very moment, make that resolution. You're going to be set apart for holy use from this time on. Now, I was going to tell you how to do that so you can get the divine nature. So first of all, determine, be resolute that you're going to follow Jesus and obey.
And to virtue, knowledge.
All right. Now, there's the knowledge. That's the intellect. Once again, the resolution, we determine, that means we're going to know God's Word. Peter's going to teach us about the three earth and heaven ages. I offer all of this here, the seduction in the garden, the order of the seven trumps. You get that here. So you know, if you're going to be resolute to obey what Jesus tells you to do, you're going to have to find out what He tells you to do, and that's found in His Bible.
Six, and to knowledge, temperance.
Temperance means self-control. Okay. Now here's the deal. Since you've decided to give your life completely to the Lord, you're going to want to pray more, and you want to go study God's Word more, and you want to help poor people more, giving alms. You want to do more good. You want to witness more. It starts out with prayer. If you ever learn how to pray, which means you, the flesh, would never play, the Holy Spirit would be saying it and would be shuttling it up there with fire to God's heaven. If you ever learn how to pray, it's the best thing you can do for the world. They don't even know you do it, and you're, your shuttle's going up and you're just changing the world. Prayer has power. And in intercessory prayer. So the first thing you do, all right, I'm going to start praying for somebody beside myself and my little family here. I'm going to start praying for everybody else because I've been doing this for years. And so you make that resolution. So you're going to do this every day, and you've got a list of people you're going to pray for and activities and so forth. And so much Bible says that you're going to do. Not a ritual, not like reading a grocery list, but I mean power, intercessory prayer with crying. I want to tell you, real praying isn't all dressed up and pretty. It's sackcloth and ashes. It's wailing and it's crying before God and letting the Spirit go out. And it goes out to heaven and all throughout the lane and touches these people you pray for and changes their lives.
Amen.
And what's going to happen? You're resolute. You say, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to start. I'm going to give that much more time to prayer. I want to learn how to be a prayer. And the first thing happens is somebody gives you an email, and you get out your cell phone and you start with them. You have just broken your date with God. You have broken your resolution. Did you know God has feelings? If you're in prayer with Him, you don't answer the phone. You pick up your cell phone. I'm sorry, you're going to have to pay attention. It hurts His feelings. In other words, you wouldn't do it with a human. Well, you would. You cell phone users do. I'm all the time. Okay, may I pray for you? Yeah, but let me give a cell phone first, okay? We all know that. That's so rude. But no. See, you will have to fight for that. And you will have to be determined. Do you know what? If I've got an appointment for prayer, if 5 minutes is shaved off of it, I feel like I've lost something. Prayer is so powerful. 5 more minutes with a prayer partner could have changed things. If you ever understand how important it is, you would never interrupt your prayer time to text anybody or anything. You discipline yourself. That's temperance, self-control. Everybody got it?
Yes.
And to temperance, patience.
Okay, this means steadfastness. You say, you mean I'm going to have to do this forever? Certainly. Yes. I mean, why not? And but you say, well, I've been praying for somebody a long time and nothing happened. Okay, you want patience? Pray some more. Just pray some more. We prayed for 8 years before this country turned around and we got President Trump was now at least bringing Jesus back in the land. And I prayed for a girl 18 years before she got saved. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
You pray. I had cancer. I prayed 6 years. I finally got healed. I had cancer again. I prayed 4 years. I finally got healed. I was crippled 6 years. I prayed. I finally walked. You just don't quit.
Amen.
You see, Jesus says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Anybody can quit after you've tried it out for a little while. Any hothouse lily, that is. But you're not a hothouse lily. You are resolute. You're going to follow Jesus, and you're going to be an outstanding follower of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And to patience, godliness.
Now, godliness is where you put on that word, that intellect you've been studying. It's not words you memorize. It's where the word in you start merging. Like a man and woman, you become one flesh. You marry the word. It's permeating and just moving in you. And then when you go, wherever you go, you're reflecting that divine nature. Then people will see the divine nature. Remember Moses, he went up to Mount Sinai, where God, in the smoking fire, and God wrote the Ten Commandments and the law and everything. When Moses came down from the mountain, he had been under the divine presence of God, that the divine nature of God was all over Moses. His face shined so brightly, they had to put a veil over him. You want to be a sunshine in this world. The world is so full of Christians with a down, poor little me, but I'm going to heaven when I die. Jesus died for me, but poor little me. For God's sake, get up. Even if you have to die for him, you have eternal life. Let's just stop that. That is so selfish. That is so... Peter, we're about to find in this same lesson, he's just found out he's going to be crucified and going to die. He's not sad at all. He's going to be with the Lord. See, it ends happily. But you can make it miserable here. It's up to you.
7, and to godliness, heavenly kindness.
That should be brotherly kindness. I kind of like the heavenly kindness. When I was recording it, it sounded like heavenly kindness to me. So, okay, brotherly kindness. The Bible says to be kind. Someone said be kind. Everybody you meet's got a heavy burden.
Amen.
And to heavenly kindness, joy. To heavenly kindness, charity.
To brotherly kindness, charity, which is love. What happens when you are kind to people who cannot do anything for you, or kind to people who appreciate what you do? You begin to love them. One of the reasons I believe Jesus told us to pray for our enemies. Now, it's okay to pray and ask God to take a 2x4 to them. David used to pray to God that he would break the teeth of his enemies. So I'm not going to go into that. But one of the things, when you give yourself to intercessory prayer, these people get in your heart and you begin to love them. They don't know that, but somewhere they're being strengthened on this planet because you take them in your heart every day and you go into the heart of God with them. And then, even though they don't even know you exist or don't care that you exist, that you love them, and that's good. See, the most important thing is that you love. It's not important that you be loved, but it's important that you love.
Saint. For if these things be in you and abide and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor fruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, if you have these characteristics that he's just named, you will have the divine nature. And the word barren there means you will not be idle. If you ever heard a Christian say, well, I don't have anything to do for the Lord. I don't do anything for the Lord. You develop that divine nature, you will have something to do, because if you just learn how to pray, prayer changes the hand of God. Prayer can change a whole nation. It is changing a whole nation. Prayer changes families. Look at the things that have happened. We see this. Prayer changes bodies. Prayer changes lives. Oh, my God. You wouldn't be idle. You would bear fruit. Besides, Jesus is the vine and you are the branch. If you abide in him, all of that favor there, that flavor, the flavor of the vine is coming through you, and that develops your divine nature.
Verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off.
The Bible speaks of two sets of eyes. We have our physical eyes, like blind Bartimaeus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. What would thou have me do, Jesus said, that I might see? So Jesus healed him. Now, he had spiritual eyes. Paul says in Ephesians, the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, the eyes of your heart. in your heart where you see things spiritually. That's the most important. That's where you want to have 20/20 vision. That's when you can see the soul and spirit of people and know how to help them. That's when you know how to pray when you're not praying but the Holy Spirit's doing it for you. That's when you know what to do and how to do. In other words, it's just that divine nature of God starts coming through you. So, and he says, if you don't have the divine nature, then you might as well be as a blind person in the physical. It's sad enough to be physically blind, but you can have spiritual eyes and still be of value. But to be spiritually blind is really pitiful.
And hath forgotten that he was purged from great sins. 10. Therefore, beloved brethren, be diligent to make this calling and election sure.
Now, it sounds like Peter's saying, now all of you who are elect, make sure God calls you. No, that's not what he's saying. If you are called, you know you're called. I can tell it on the phone. I can say you're called. You have a calling on your life. You can just feel it. Anyone who's called knows they're called. They may not know where, when, how, what to do, but they're aware that God has got his hand on them. They may not know how to define it. You know that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, since you are called, you are chosen to be this divine person, this divine light shining everywhere. He said, make it sure. Make it sure means steadfast, firm, and permanent. Let you be so rooted and grounded in God's word and wrapped around by the baptism of the Holy Spirit that your roots run so deep that you're like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that your faith, your leaf does not wither. Whatever you do shall prosper. You're like a tree standing there. In other words, make sure. Once you realize that you have the calling on your life, it changes things. It helps you to follow that resolution. Resolution is power.
Yes.
Commitment is power.
For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail.
The book of Daniel says that at the end time, Antichrist is going to try to wear out the saints, the devil will, so that we'll fail or stagger or stumble. But he says, if you develop the divine nature, you will not fail. I understand that tellers, someone told me this, that they study the real money, not the counterfeit. So then when they see the counterfeit, they can identify it quickly. When you spend so much time with a divine God, like Moses did, anything that's fake, you immediately recognize it. And you recognize it, whether it's a fallen angel coming in, whether it's an antichrist coming in, whether it's a hypocritical person pretending to be a Christian coming in, and you just recognize that. Once you've had the real thing, nobody can deceive you unless you just choose to be deceived.
Amen.
11, therefore, an entrance is given to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom.
Peter prophesies now, Revelation 20, we shall rule and reign with Jesus 1,000 years. This will be the Zadok, the elect, in our spiritual bodies when Jesus comes at the seventh trump, and that millennium period, Ezekiel 44 on through 48. We're going to be the teachers there and help people to get it together.
Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 12. Therefore, I would not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Ye may be established in the present truth.
In other words, I'm going to keep reminding you of all of these precious truths that you may be solid, that you won't stray from this, Peter says.
13. Yea, I think it is meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance.
I think that since I'm still here in the flesh with you, Peter says, that I need to write this down. Now, Peter was writing the Bible. We are studying it today. But we're going to find that the Holy Spirit wrote the whole Bible. But when a man or woman, when the Holy Spirit speaks through you or writes through you or prays through you or sings through you or ministers through you, you know it is God. So Peter says, I think that I'm going to write all of this down. And the Lord meant for that to be a part of the Bible so you will have some way to remember. And look at us remembering today.
14.
18, knowing that shortly I must put off my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shown me.
When I was teaching the book Gospel of John not too long ago, remember Jesus says, Peter, you're going to be carried somewhere you don't want to be carried by people you don't want to carry you. Peter was crucified also for serving Jesus. History tells us that he was crucified upside down, that he did not feel worthy to be crucified as Jesus, but that's history. But he gave his life. He's not afraid, because he knows to be with absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But he just wants to finish his mission. He wants to have this written, and he wants to get some really great mystery in there so that it'll help you. And look, it's helping us today.
15, moreover, I will endeavor that ye may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance.
And so we do. We have the Bible. That was Jesus' plan. He's the one that told him to write it down.
16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known into the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ.
I've not been telling you a fairy tale about Jesus born of a Virgin Mary, dying on a cross and rising from the dead. No, it's the truth.
And were eyewitnesses of his majesty. 17, but he received from the Father honor and glory. And there came such a voice to him, and the excellent words, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Matthew chapter 17, Jesus took Peter, James, and John and took them up to the Mount of Transfiguration, where Jesus was transfigured before them, and he was white as the light. And with him appeared, talking with him, was Moses the lawgiver and Elijah the prophet. And then Peter heard a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The rest of that Matthew 17, God says, hear ye him.
18, and this voice which came from heaven, we heard, and we were with him in the holy mountain.
We were there. We saw him. He's alive.
19, we've also admonished your word of prophecy, word of prophecy, whereunto it's well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place.
Let me speak to a word of prophecy, Peter says right here before I finish chapter 1, that Jesus is coming again at the seventh trump. And the day star is going to arise in your hearts. The Bible says that whole darkness will cover the earth. That means there's no truth. Just look at the media. There's not one person saying the right thing on there for our country. Not one person saying the right thing. It's dark there. But Jesus is coming. It's the day of the Lord. The Psalm 22, when Jesus was teaching on the cross, in the Hebrew there, it means the dawning of a new day. Jesus is coming, and he's the light of the world. And he's going to put an end to this darkness, this nonsense, this absolute world covered with dark lies. He's going to bring the light of the truth with him. Do you realize that's going to happen soon?
Yes.
Until the day dawn and the day star arise.
Now, you know, there's another person who calls himself a star. We'll talk about Lucifer when we get to chapter 3, the first earth age there, when he said he would be God. He calls himself the morning star, and he's going to come back as God and call himself the star. Make sure you got the right stars. Wait for the seventh trump. And so we have precious Peter and the precious promises of Peter. And I pray you are blessed. We'll begin right there next time. Right now, however, it's time for Mystery Moment, questions and answers to help you understand the mystery of God, which Peter's going to get into in chapter 3. Let me introduce to you the owner of the produce place in Suntree, Florida, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. That was great teaching tonight.
Thank you.
We're getting into the meat of the word, as you say, right?
Yes.
Very much so. Okay, our first question. What is the secret place of the Most High mentioned in Psalms 91?
The secret place of the Most High is not a building. It's where your spirit merges with the heart of God. The secret place of the Most High is the heart of God, and the heart of God is the love of God. Your spirit merges, becomes one with that love, and it's as though you put on a fire-resistant costume as you go through your sojourn time here on earth, and He protects and He hides and covers you in His feathers. It's the love of God.
Yeah, it's the best place to be, isn't it? It truly
well, you know,
is.
David left his stuff in the cart. As he could put his stuff in the bag, what is Scott's stuff?
The Lord tells us that it is the glory of God to conceal a mystery and the honor of kings to search out the matter. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we are made kings and priests. The kingship grants us authority to ask, seek, and knock, and then exercise such authority. The priesthood grants us access to the Holy of Holies, to the mysteries kept for the ages, to be revealed at specific times for specific reasons. This kingship and priesthood anointing is offered through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. This anointing grants word of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ.
That is so great. Thank you, Scott Mercer. That's been right in touch with a lesson today. He says we just march right in, go into the Holy of Holies. I'm going to pray for the sick, but first I want to pray for any of you who are not saved. This is a good time to get saved. I can't think of anything better for you to do. Please pray this and mean it. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead.
Please forgive all my sins.
Please forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Fill me with all the Holy Spirit.
Fill me with all the Holy Spirit.
And use me. To bring somebody to the light of Jesus.
To bring somebody to the light of Jesus.
Here am I, Lord.
Here am I, Lord.
Send me.
Send me.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. In a few moments, my announcer will give you my telephone number. So if you'd like to call, if you prayed that prayer, please feel free to call and tell me so. And don't forget that you can call and leave your prayer request for us to pray for you on Thursday, or just for me to pray anytime there, that's it too. Let me pray for those of you who are sick. In the name and the power of Jesus, Father, I ask, O Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in your wings. I just ask that you will go into the head, into the brain, where there is something pressing on the brain. We just ask it would disintegrate and move back into its proper place. Let the pressure be gone off of the brain, and let the brain function in the name and the power of Jesus, and the memory be restored in Jesus' name. We pray for the feet, Father God, that the burning in the feet will stop, dear God. The diabetes will go to the abyss in Jesus' name. The blood and the nerves and the nerves and tendons be healed, and hips be healed, and hearts and lungs from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. Let the pain stop now. Pain stop now. Pain stop now. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. Glory. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, somebody got that. Now, thank you, Lord. We give you glory. You may also call and tell me that you were healed. God bless you. Remember, nothing is yours to keep. Everything is to give away. Remember that Jesus' name is called the Word of God. And He says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. Until next time, this is Sherry Medlock and my twin friend Scott Merson saying we love you. God bless you. God keep you. God make His face to shine upon you. Look and search for those precious promises of which Peter speaks. They're all over the Bible. And God will keep His promise to you. I love you. And until next time, remember, go and blow the trumpet of truth. Thank you.
been listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. You're invited to call Sherry at 321-632-4631. That's 321-632-4631. Join us next week at this same time for Trumpet of Truth.
Surrounded by silence, so where have I gone? I woke to reality, losing its grip on me. Oh, where have I gone? I can see the light before I see the sunrise. You called and you shouted, broke through my deafness. Now I'm breathing in and breathing out. I'm alive again. You shattered. you. You waited for me, I searched for you. What took me so long? I was looking outside, as if love would ever want to hide. I'm finding I was wrong, 'cause I can feel.
So the world. sacrifice to conquer the grave. My life laid down, give all I am, all for the one who gave everything.
You're listening to WMIE, today's Modern Worship, 91.5 FM.
I will go where you send me. I will follow where you lead me. I will do what you ask me. I will. I will sing of your goodness. I will wait in the silence. Oh, to be in your presence. I will. Oh, I have seen the beauty of surrender, and I am free when I become your prisoner. So write your name on my heart. I am yours. Oh, I am yours. Take my life. Take my all. I am yours. Oh, I am yours forever. When the storm is raging, and when my hope is shaken, you will hold me with your hand. You will. Through the joys and the trials, I will choose to be thankful, 'cause you'll always be faithful.